Yo, what is going on? This is Relaxing, Noji_Jackson, and we are back with me and Big Cozy, Too Cozy. If you're wondering where St. Kitch is, aka Spence is, he is MIA. We haven't heard from him. We have no idea where he's at. He's actually might be on a forbidden island somewhere. We don't know. He's gone from the floor. We do know that, but he is missing in action, and we are hoping to hear from him soon.
Not me. So that's what I have to say about it.
Now,
wherever you're at, Spence, because we haven't heard from you in like 3 weeks, good riddance. We don't need you. We're better off. The ratings haven't been higher.
No, nope, going through the roof.
Yeah. So that means you're the issue.
Well, how are you doing this week?
I'm doing good since we dropped the dead weight, the dead luggage. We don't need him.
The garbage.
The scumbag. Last week he said, "Oh, you know, I'm sick. I got all this grease in my body." Now, you know, he has no excuse. It's like, yo, do you want to do the podcast or not?
Well, so, the way I see it is, you know, he's on the Forbidden Island, and you know, if we see him again, honestly, we're lucky at this point in time.
No, he's lucky if he could come to our presence.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay. I had it backwards.
I mean, it's okay. It's okay, Nigel. I understand. You think really small.
Wow.
I understand,
well, man. What was I saying? Oh, well, I had a good week this week as well. I think this week has been, you know, the sun's been shining more and I've been able to go to the gym a little bit more. And, you know, I got another visit from David, you know, shouts out to David, you know, what would I say? What's a good way to describe him, Law?
Everybody shouts out, go check out David at Blue Ocean Pest. You can look it up, Google Blue Ocean Pest. He's a good advisor. He'll get rid of all that bullshit in your house and bullshit. What I mean by is, if you got termites, if you have little mice, or, you know, if he can't get the job done, he's going to point you in the right direction where the job will be done. So Blue Ocean Pest David, I guess that's the best way to say it.
Blue Ocean Pest David, shouts out to you, man. I actually thought about his last name while you said that, but I'm not going to put him out there like that on here. But that being said, we've been watching it. I know the listeners, at least some of the listeners, have been watching it. What are your thoughts on the NBA playoffs?
Well, it's been crazy. I mean, I guess we might as well just talk about the hot topic as of this recording, which is the Celtics sweeping the Nets. I think it goes to show, I guess the debate between LeBron and KD is officially over by the sweeping. LeBron is the better basketball player. He forever will be the better basketball player just because he could carry a team to the finals and actually win a championship. And he did it against a much tougher team in the Golden State Warriors.
With a bum team.
Yeah, and he didn't have the greatest team. I mean, he had Kyrie and Kevin Love, but it was really his show. That's why he won finals MVP that year. KD and Kyrie, man, it was just a collapse. A lot of issues off the court with Kyrie Irving, whether you stand with him or not on that, those issues. KD basically being burnt out because he had to deal with a lot on his own. Plus, he was dealing with the injury during the season as well. Then coming back and he has to try to carry the team. And then Ben Simmons, you know, a lot of people were saying, oh, you know, Ben Simmons, he's going to come back. He doesn't want to play for Philly. Well, Ben Simmons doesn't want to play at all, neither. You know, he doesn't want to play for any team. He wants to sit, collect his check. The NBA, all the owners, they're probably going to get together now and be like, hey, we got to make a rule to prevent what Ben Simmons is doing with any other player.
I think it's kind of fucked up what Ben Simmons is doing, too, because at first he was going with the whole, oh, this is for my mental health thing. And most people saw through it, you know, but when it's like a situation like that, it's like you look insensitive if you don't let him get his time. But even if he is faking it, you can't really say anything. So it's like you just kind of got to pay him his money. And he successfully went through the whole season without playing a single game this year and still got paid. So, I mean, shouts out to him for getting his money, but he did it in like a real sleazy way. So, like, I think they'll have to say something about that. As far as it,
I mean, the criticism that he's getting right now, he has earned that.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Like, I think it's kind of interesting to see how he's handled it all. He's probably like, after they, you know, were shitting on him last year after the playoffs, he's probably like, I don't care what they think of me. Like, I'm going to get my money and shut up. And that's exactly what he's done.
We'll see how long he can play that game.
As far as KD and Kyrie, like you said earlier, like the debate with LeBron and KD, that's, you know, that's done. LeBron went to the finals with a trash team against the Warriors after he did have those good teams against the Warriors and those finals that they went to, like that series of finals they went to, you know. KD, unfortunately, couldn't do it, and I wanted the Nets to win, but, you know, they couldn't pull it off. Not only that, they got swept, so there's not really much to say about it, you know. Like, it just is what it is. You know, they lost the game, and, you know, maybe they'll come back next year without Ben Simmons. Maybe they might not come back at all. I wouldn't be surprised if they blew the team up.
No, they can't, because I think it's like, if they do, they might blow it up on the bench. But I think Kyrie still has – he's still available for another season. And KD, he's locked in for like the next like 6 years or something like that, 5-6 years. So the top two stars, the top two priority players, they're not going to be gone. But like Blake Griffin, Andre Drummond, all those other fucking guys that's warming up the bench, yeah, they could be replaced then. By cheaper players who could do a better job than them. And I'm not trying to knock them, but they're just older. They right. can't, yeah, there's a reason why they're not starters anymore. So besides that, though, I'm hoping that the Heat could close out the series, the Bucks could close out their series. It looks like for the Suns and Pelicans, we're still going to get a few more games because right now the series is tied 2-2. Same thing. Well, no, the Mavericks, they just won. Last night at the time of this recording, they just won, so they're up 3-2. So by the time this episode actually drops, listeners, the Mavericks could have moved on, or the Jazz could have tied the series again. So we'll just have to wait and see. What I will say, this is the final thing I will say, the Pelicans, they're surprising me. That might be the next series I'm really excited in the second round, because if they get past the Suns, I think they could get to the West Finals.
What is the next series you're looking forward to in the playoffs for the next round, I'll say?
Bucks versus Boston.
Okay. Do you think that could possibly be like finals competitor?
Yeah, easily. Whoever's winning that, they're going to the finals. Even though they still got to go to the East Finals, but whoever goes to the East Finals, I don't think they could beat the Bucks or they're going to beat Boston.
Well, shout out to them. You know what I mean? I'm curious to see what happens. And I feel like those matchups can be good. We also got the preview of a possible matchup that I don't think many people were actually expecting to happen, was Francis Ngannou versus Tyson Fury. After he beat Dillian White, Tyson Fury, this past weekend, he brought in Francis Ngannou into the ring. And he said, hey, this is the next fight we're going to do. And Francis Ngannou came out and said, this is a 70% chance this is going to happen. I can only imagine that 30% is Dana White or someone in the UFC saying, hey, nah, we're not going to allow that to happen. But I don't know. What do you think?
So not to disrespect Dillian White, former interim WBC heavyweight title holder, got KO'd in the sixth round by a smooth uppercut by Tyson Fury, but Tyson was basically schooling the dude. To be for real with you, how I feel about the Tyson Fury Francis Ngannou fight, I like it. I know a lot of people are shitting on Tyson and a lot of people are shitting on Francis because they're complaining about, oh, well, you know, why does a Tyson go fight the winner of Usyk and Joshua to be undisputed? Well, why does a Francis, you know, Francis, he's only do this for a payday. He's going to get KO'd. He needs to go back and stick to MMA, da, da, da. And I can't talk for boxing fans as much. I kind of understand boxing fans while they're like, Tyson, go undisputed, then go retire, do whatever the fuck you want. But for MMA fans, I understand the shit talk for Francis, because I look at it as like, first everybody's like, all right, well, And maybe fighters are not getting paid too much. Maybe fighters are not getting paid too much. Francis speaks out. Now there's a divided community. Half of the community supported Francis. They fuck with him. The other half, they don't fuck with him. Oh, he needs to shut up and shut his mouth. You know, 600,000, that's enough money to get by. Da, da. No, damn well, these people are not in the financial circles of
Francis
Dana White. Oh, yeah, Francis Ngannou as well. They only know what they know by Googling and all that. They don't know the logistics of everything. And they can be analytic as possible, but not. And if they're on point with whatever the fuck they're saying, maybe they need to get in the world of finance to get their money up, you know? So, no, I'm being for real. People who are rich, people who are making six figures or more, they're not sitting on the comment boards arguing with other people on the comment boards. They're not doing it. The most is... Yeah, they'll read comments. Everybody reads comments, but they're not sitting there going tit for tat, arguing, you know, writing out thought pieces and shit about why Francis shouldn't get paid. Like, that's, to me, it just comes off as like you're a fucking hater, and you're gonna you're doing everything you can to prove why you're a hater. So anyway, I think that Francis and Tyson is a fun fight to make if it's an exhibition bout, which they both said, hey, this is what it's going to be, as it should be, because we already know in the boxing ring, Tyson gets him out of there easily under 3 rounds. In MMA, Francis probably gets him out of there within the first round, right? So I look at it as, why not bridge the two and make a hybrid type bout? Now, if it's MMA gloves, but still boxing in a boxing ring, yeah, Fury obviously is probably going to win. I don't understand how Francis would even have a chance, no matter the size of the gloves. But if they mix it up, kind of like what they did with Demetrius Johnson versus that Muay Thai dude, over in 1FC, where it's like, hey, first round Muay Thai, second round MMA, da, da, da. They did something like that. Boxing first round, MMA second round, then yeah, now it's kind of like, okay, now it could be very competitive. Oh shit, let's see what the fuck happens. Even though Francis is a he's more of a boxing type of MMA fighter versus an MMA fighter that uses different type of strikes like elbows and shit like that. I think it's a fun fight. I think both of them are going to get paid a lot of fucking money. I seen crooked ass Bob Arum say that it's going to be the biggest fight, much bigger than Mayweather McGregor. I think that's going to be a big fight, but to say it's bigger than Mayweather McGregor, that's kind of a reach. Because even though we're Francis fans, I like Francis or whatever the fuck, he doesn't have McGregor drawing power. He just doesn't. But it can be a big fight. Will that sell over millions of pay-per-views? Yeah, I'm pretty sure. If somebody told me like, oh, this could sell like 2 million pay-per-views, I would sit there and be like, yeah, it could easily well do that. Now, if somebody's like, oh, this is going to break the number, or this is going to do 4 million plus, even if somebody said like, oh, this is going to be like 3 million, I would be like, I don't know, man. You're going to have to provide the proof why. But I think it's a fun fight. I'm not mad at it. If Tyson Fury is really retired like he claims, the fuck it. What's the problem with him doing it? People always want to see other people do other shit, how they envision it, but they're not understanding it. Your keyboard warrior sticking the asses is not in the boxing ring doing what Tyson is doing. So Tyson wants to stop and go chase an 8 to 9 figure payday. Let him do it. Same thing with Francis. Francis doesn't owe none of you motherfuckers shit. You know, if he wants to go out and make money fighting the best heavyweight in the world, why the fuck not? It's best heavyweight boxer versus best heavyweight MMA fighter. One, you know, fuck it. Let them make money. People hate people. People just love to hate. That's all that shit is.
I don't understand why people have such a problem with them fighting each other at this point in time. Like, let's be real, right? Like, he could fight John Jones, but he could also fight Tyson Fury, and it will both make sense. I feel like there's no reason why they shouldn't fight at the moment. I think it's probably the biggest fight that Tyson Fury can get, you know? I mean, honestly, like, who can he really fight that would be a bigger draw than than Francis Ngannou, unless it was another boxer. Like, and even then, were people really want to watch that? Because it's just, this is a circus, what him and Francis fighting, or it can be. And him fighting some old boxer would also be a circus, because that's the biggest name he could probably get.
People are tossing around circus way too much now, man. I felt like you have two guys in their physical prime, both champions, by the way. They both knock people the fuck out in their respective combat sport. They're both fan favorites, and people support their stories outside of the boxing ring and octagon. I just don't see how this is considered a circus fight. People want to use the term circus fight to hate. I understand a circus fight. Like, for example, Floyd versus Logan Paul, that's a circus fight.
Right.
Because you have arguably TBE, the best ever, whether you disagree or not, who cares, versus a guy who's 0-1 professionally boxing. So, he's only boxed other YouTubers, non-professional boxers, simply put. So that's a circus fight, not combat sport champion versus combat sport champion.
I don't think that this is a circus fight if they box, but I think that that mixed rules shit that they do in like 1FC is kind of, I don't like that. I think it's just kind of whack. But like, I think if they were to fight, I think it'd be cool. I don't think that they would get to the point where they're going to sell as much as Floyd and Connor, because Tyson Fury, while a lot of people like him, is not Floyd Mayweather, and Francis Ngannou isn't Conor McGregor. Like, you got, while these might be like the two, you know, heavyweights at the top in their peak, like they're probably like the two most popular people. I don't want to say Floyd was in his peak, but Conor McGregor, that's like peak Conor McGregor at the moment, you know? So I think it would do well, like you said. Would it necessarily be more? Nah, I don't see that either. But I think it would be interesting to see them actually like test their skills. I think Tyson Fury beats them handily, personally.
Yeah, in the boxing ring, absolutely. I just don't. And I'm a Francis fan. If that fight actually goes down like it looks like it should, I'm going to root for Francis. I'm a root for the MMA guy. I'm going to root for the brother. But with that being said, if we're being realistic and we're taking our fanboyism out of it, Tyson is going to box the ears off him, and he might give Francis his first knockout loss in combat history. Yeah, if it's in a boxing. If it's an MMA, I don't give Tyson Fury a chance. I don't give him a good chance at all. So that's just how it is. So we'll see. But more than likely, it'll probably be boxing, because that'll probably generate a lot more money.
Honestly, I would like it if it was an MMA, because I feel like you'd never see the boxers come over to the other side. So,
because of money.
And I get that.
This fight, Tyson Fury, could generate a lot of fucking money. Like, for example, but it would have to be handled by a boxing promoter. So, right. Like, for example, let's say Eddie Hearn, Bob Arum, whoever the fuck. They're like, hey, yeah, we're boxing promoters, but we're going to do this as a MMA fight, right? They can hire people who know the logistics of running an MMA event, and boom, they don't need to include Dana in this. Because if you include Dana White in this motherfucker,
it's a UFC event.
It's a UFC event, and neither guys are going to get paid the money that they could earn. If Dana White was involved. No, I
think
don't
he might
do
make
that.
It happen. I think he might make it happen for this fight. There's a lot of money riding on this fight.
Nope.
You know?
Nope.
You don't think he do it? You don't think he break rules for this one fight? No. He broke rules for Connor. And I'm not saying I get Connor is Connor.
He didn't pay Connor $30 million to show up. All that shit was from Mayweather Promotions, Showtime Boxing. That's where Connor got that $30 million from. Mm. And then the $100 million that came from the pay-per-view. From Showtime Boxing. None of that shit came from Dana. All Dana did was sign off. Yeah, I'm allowing my fighter to do this. X amount of money. Of course, I'm getting a cut. UFC's getting a cut. Whatever. That's it. Dana didn't come out of his pocket to give Connor anything.
Well,
you know,
then he might have fucked up by letting Francis just kind of off, you know, on loose. You know what I mean? Because, like, Francis is going to go out there and make his money, as he deserves to do.
Right, but Francis is kind of like, I was listening to his interview with Errol Hawani, and Francis basically was kind of like, hey, look, I want to do this boxing fight. If UFC can't get it done, I just won't be a UFC fighter anymore. But he will like for it to be like he goes boxes Tyson Fury, then comes back to defend his title. And I put it like this. If he fights under the UFC contract, the UFC might be like, all right, we'll give you a few million. And then when you come back to UFC, you might come back down to like $1 million a fight or $1.5 million a fight. But if he does this without UFC, Francis could walk away with 8 digits. Oh, he could walk away with 20, 30 million. And if he's getting pay-per-view like Conor is, Francis, he might be talking about 60, 70 million after it's all said and done, assuming if the pay-per-view does really well. But I don't see Dana White running that event at all.
No, yeah, he won't be
because running. he's not going to pay those guys that much amount of money. Mm.
That's crazy. Well, you know, I hope that we do see that fight because I think it's probably going to be one of the more interesting matchups we have this year. So shouts out to them, you know.
Well, as you're shouting out those guys, I need to shout out the guy, a special guy. Let me just say that. And this special guy, now he's known, he's a little internet famous, and he's the guy that got punched out or smacked around by messing with Mike Tyson on the plane. Listeners, while Mike Tyson was on a plane minding his own business, a guy who was more than likely drunk, or he was drunk, I don't know, was just kept harassing Michael. Michael did everything to defuse the situation verbally. I think he even took a selfie with the guy, whatever the fuck, so the guy could stop bothering him. But the guy continued to be a pest. And the word is, which wasn't captured on video apparently, was a water bottle hit Mike. Now, I don't know if it came from the guy or somebody else threw it. I don't know. So Mike turned around and he just pretty much smacked the guy up, kind of roughed him up a little bit. And surprise, surprise, the guy stopped harassing Mike. Now, some people are speculating Mike is going to get sued. And some people are saying like, well, since this guy apparently is like some type of criminal or something like that, Mike might get away. I don't know. The way I see it is this. If people harass you, yes, you shouldn't go out and attack and fight them, because every time you're harassed or whatever like that, now you have to do the same thing, or it's not going to make sense why you beat this one person up. But if the guy gets in your personal space and he puts his hand on you, you have the right to fucking defend yourself or push the guy off, or in Mike's case, rough him up a little bit to let him know to stop what he's doing. Mike could have really put the guy in a coma if he wanted to, but obviously that wasn't his goal. He just wanted the guy to stop fucking with him. I think it's justified. I know some people are kind of like, no, it's not justified, even though they like watching combat sports and people being bloody and knocked out viciously. But when Mike is just roughing up somebody all of a sudden, you know, oh, you shouldn't do that. But whatever, that's just my opinion on that take.
I feel like he was doing the wrong thing in antagonizing Mike Tyson. And I feel like when you're antagonizing somebody in a public place like that, you kind of get what you ask for. Like, it's not like, you know, he was just saying stuff and acting kind of funny. Like, he's hitting them with water bottles, like, you know, being all in his space. So when he's saying, hey, stop, and then he turns around and actually, you know, hits him, I can't really feel too bad about what happened to the guy. So I think he deserved it personally. And I hope that, you know, Mike Tyson gets away with it and doesn't have to necessarily do anything or get in any type of trouble. I feel like there's not enough times where people who are doing things like that, we're not talking about him just like saying something or being rude, you know what I mean? Like, he's actually touching him and he's thinking because he's Mike Tyson and he's a celebrity, he's not going to do anything back. And he learned a swift lesson. And I think that, you know, it is what it is. But that being said, moving on from Mike Tyson, we had somebody who actually did get in trouble this week, unfortunately. Pooh Shiesty was sentenced to 5 years in prison. I'm not sure exactly what the case is. Lau, do you know?
It had to do with that incident about 2 years ago when he pulled his shit out and started shooting in the club. So he actually was facing like 8 years, but I think he copped a plea deal and it reduced his shit down to 5 years. 5 years and a quarter. But now he just needs to serve 4 years and a quarter because he was already locked up for a year while the shit was going down. So he'll be out in about 4 years and a quarter. I'll just say 4 fucking years. I don't know if there's anything, listeners who's tuned into the Pooh Shiesty case, maybe you can inform us. But I don't know if he's allowed to get out less than 4 years, like due to good behavior or whatever the fuck. But yeah, that's that for that.
I mean, well, shouts out to him. Hopefully he can get out sooner than later, of course. In the meantime, I know people will be listening to Pusha T's new album, It's Almost Dry, has dropped. As of recording this, it came out last Friday. I got a chance to listen to it. I was actually listening to it prior to us recording today. And I'm not going to lie. And I know I don't necessarily like giving. I don't think it's early in the year to say it enough. This is my album of the year so far. Like, this album is very good. I think the production is very good. I think the rapping is very good. I don't really have much to say about it. There might be like one song that I just don't really feel like listening to like that. And that's about it. That's just a personal choice though. I don't think that song's even necessarily a bad song. I really enjoyed this song. And I also like how they are this album, but I also like how they released a second cut of the album where it was like essentially the Kanye songs and the Pharrell songs, like each six split up. I thought that was kind of cool.
I don't like that. This is why. It's just a way to garner more streams for a better album sale.
It's like the Kendrick backwards album. Like, that's all it is.
I mean, yeah, that's fine. But he released that like a long time after Damn came out. That wasn't like, you know, same week that shit happened. The Migos did the same fucking thing with Culture 3. They did Offset's Way, Quavo's Way, Takeoff. And the only difference between each way was like the songs that, like, for example, if it was Offset's Way of the Culture 3 album, it was the songs that were predominantly him on there. Okay. Versus that's what that and to me, it was just to drive up stream numbers. I'm not and on top of that, the top of that, they released a deluxe after that, too, which I thought was like, here we go with the deluxe shit. Now, I don't think Pusha T is in that realm of a deluxe artist where he's just releasing. I think It's Almost Dry. What you get is what you get. My opinion on it, I think this is a top five rap album of the year so far. I don't know where I'm going to place in the top five, but I thoroughly enjoy this album. Listeners, if you're a fan of the podcast, which I assume so, because you're listening to this episode, and if you're a new listener, shouts out to you. Thank you. I'm not the biggest Pusha T fan. I don't hate him. I don't think he's fucking whack or whatever like that. He's just not one of my favorite rappers. He's just not. But this album is one of my favorite albums of the year. And this album is really good. It's really solid. I want to say it's number one, though. I will say that. I think number one for me is still Tana Talk 4, just because I like every song on Tana Talk 4, even though I'm not saying that every song is perfect on there, but there's not a song on there where I'm like, oh, well, it's not my cup of tea. On It's Almost Dry, excuse me, on It's Almost Dry, there's about two songs on there where I'm kind of like, yeah, I could live without this. Now, say they're bad songs, but they're not songs where I'm really eager to, if I'm listening to the album as a whole in its entirety, those are two songs I'm not looking forward to listen. That's the Kid Cudi song, the rock and roll shit, and the shit with Lil Uzi and Don Toliver. Those songs are not my shit on that. But the rest of the songs of the album, I fucks with it hard and I enjoy it.
I agree with you, man. Yeah, like that's what I felt about it. And I'm more of a fan of the song with Lil Uzi, but that Kid Cudi song, I don't like that shit. I'm not even gonna lie. Like, to me, that song is like, it's all right. You know what I mean? Like, it's not necessarily, like I said, it's not my cup of tea. It's not a bad song, but for me, I'm not rushing to listen to that song. I'm just not, you know, so that's that.
Yeah, like, and that's kind of like why I won't give it number one for me. It's top five for sure, but I won't give it number one. I feel like number one has to be like, hey, there's not a song on here I dislike. Now, once again, listeners, because I know people like to
nitpick.
Nitpick and have bad memories. Not saying every song's perfect, but to me, what constitutes a number one album is I like every song. Every time I listen to the project as a whole, I can listen to it without skipping shit because I enjoy it together. And I don't think as It's Almost Dry is number one to me for that. It's top five easily. It might be top three, honestly, but it's not the number one. But with that being said, though, It's Almost Dry. It's fantastic. I've already listened to the album three times. I enjoy it a lot. I know Nigel didn't say this, but I think the song that I like most is the second one. Something, something fucking coop. What's the whole sentence?
Let the smoker shine the coop.
Coop. Yeah, that song is hard as a motherfucker. Yes. But anyway, I like Nicaris too. I think Nicaris, I like it the more and more I listen to it too. Yeah, that's my take on It's Almost Dry. But since we're in the discussion of saying almost, well, Kohl's might almost be bought by JCPenney for billions. I know that's a crazy transition, but kiss my ass, listeners. But yeah, so JCPenney, they're offering to buy Kohl's for $8.6 billion, excuse me. How do you feel about that, Nigel? I mean, to me, it's just kind of like we're in an age where companies are buying out fucking companies like crazy for billions of dollars. But this is nothing new because throughout time, even before we were born, companies been buying companies. So, but how do you feel about JCPenney buying or offering to buy Kohl's for $8.6 billion?
I mean, I'm not mad at it. You know, shouts out to JCPenney. Like they're probably going to end up making some Kohl's JCPenney's and add on like the little car parts like some JCPenney's do. JCPenney's, like, while you might see them on the side of the malls and shit, like, I know they actually do a decent bit of other things. Like, they, you know, sell home appliances, like, you know, washer machines and shit like that. So I think they could probably afford to take over some of their stores and make them into like maybe random specialized stores or something like that. I see them doing it, and I'm not even necessarily mad at it, you know, but I know a lot of people like Kohl's, so I know a lot of people will not be happy.
I mean, I like Kohl's. I think Kohl's is nice. If I need to get some new socks and shit, some new undergarments, I'm going to stop at Kohl's. You know, I think Kohl's is cool. I don't go to JCPenney. JCPenney is just not for me. I'm not going to the motherfucking mall to go to JCPenney. I'm just going to go to Kohl's. So that's just my take. But since we're in the discussion of business now, I think it's time to talk about the big thing that's been raving this week. At the time of this recording, it's probably going to be raving by the time the listeners hear this episode, and there'll probably be more updates next week about the motherfucker.
Yep.
Listeners, I'm talking about Elon Musk. Twitter accepts his offer to buy it out for $44 billion. So he is now going to be the principal owner of Twitter. Mm. Some people don't give a fuck, like myself, and some people do give a fuck, like Nigel. Nigel, why do you give a fuck?
I think it's interesting how people are upset with Elon Musk. I personally don't have anything against him, but everybody keeps on saying he's coming for free speech, and he hasn't done anything yet to prove those people right. But I think it's weird because a lot of people seem to be mad at him because he's a billionaire who bought something with all of his money. And most of the people I see who aren't saying free speech things, they're saying, oh, well, he could have spent his money ending world hunger. He could have spent his money doing something, or he said he was going to promise his money doing this cause and he didn't.
Don't you hate motherfuckers like that?
The funny thing about money, Lyle, is if it's yours, you can do whatever the fuck you want with it. Whatever.
That's what I was saying about this fucking, when we were talking about Tyson Fury and Francis Ngannou. Not to go back to listeners, but fuck it, I need to bring it back real quick. Motherfuckers are always trying to tell you what to do with the shit that you got going on. And they're sitting behind a keyboard and a screen with a stick so far up their fucking ass because they don't understand and they don't know how to operate and go out and get themselves their own money so they can have purchasing power or do whatever the fuck they want. They're so worried and caught up in other people's shit. I don't give a fuck what Elon Musk does on Twitter. Twitter doesn't hold me to my fucking life. Now, I understand for people who make money off of Twitter,
right?
That's a livelihood. So yes, they have a reason to be concerned or whatever, or at least have more of attention span to what's going on than I. I can understand people who work for Twitter, where, you know, whether they have partnerships or they actually work for the company itself, I can understand why they have a concern. But if you just fucking a person, you know, you could be living in North Dakota, fucking California, Texas, fuck it. You might be living in somewhere in Europe. You have no ties to Twitter financially. You have no ties to Twitter in any shape or form. And you sitting here trying to talk about, well, he could spend that money on world hunger. Yeah, he fucking could, but that's not his responsibility.
You know, also...
It's just not his responsibility. His responsibility is not to feed world hunger. You know whose responsibility that is?
The powers that be.
Exactly. The powers that be. Not a guy who's a multi-billionaire who has the money to buy shit out. It should be the people that's making the rules and regulations and policies. Right. Those are the ones that need to be figuring out about stopping world hunger. Not some fucking guy who some people considered weird, who runs a fucking the electric car company. Like, people are looking towards the wrong things for saviors. It's like when people are concerned on what celebrities do and how they feel about a situation. Like Dave Chappelle said, what does Ja Rule think?
Right,
nobody exactly. Gives a fuck. Yeah.
The funny thing about the whole UN thing is that, so he said, hey, the UN, you make a plan for me to spend this money, I'm going to give y'all some money to, you know, execute the plan. So what they said was, well, if you give us the money, we could do this and we could do that. You know, we could do this and we could do that.
All right, go to hell.
That's, you know what that sounds like to me? That doesn't sound like a plan. It sounds like things you could do, you know, and that's awesome. That's not a plan.
Yeah, it sounds like, hey, yes, give us your money. We're going to line our pockets. Then maybe, you know, and whatever percentage is left, maybe we'll look at it. Maybe not. Maybe we'll put it towards something else.
Right. So it is what it is. That being said, there was a couple other things that happened. You know, definitely our thoughts go out to Vice President Harris. She tested positive for COVID, you know, so hopefully everything's all right with her, you know. Lyle, do you have anything else to say about that?
I mean, yeah, most definitely. Hopefully everything will be all right because nobody wishes death on any. Well, you know, unfortunately, some people do. But yeah. Here at the Holly Advice Podcast, we're not wishing death on people.
We don't do
and,
that.
And yeah, we definitely don't do that. And yeah, so I definitely hope that she gets really well. Hopefully, the vice president, she's healthy and she could push through. I just think it's interesting though that she caught COVID because COVID cases are starting to rise again. I don't know. I'm not one of these people who are theorizing and shit like that. I just think it's interesting that COVID is rising again. That's all.
It's interesting. That being said, our thoughts are out to her and our thoughts and prayers are out to the world's oldest woman, or I should say oldest person, who was a woman. Yeah. She passed away. It's very unfortunate. She was 119 years old. So I'm sure she's seen all types of things. You know, definitely.
Why is it unfortunate? She got to live a very full life.
Well, it's unfortunate because she's, you know, dead. So
what if she's kind of like, hey, look, I'm ready to go and I'm just not going.
Who knows that? We don't know that. So it's unfortunate she died.
We don't know that. I don't think it's unfortunate. 119.
I know. I get it. I hear what you're saying.
Yeah, she's not 60.
No, I hear what you're saying. She wasn't young. Like, you know, she was the oldest person on earth.
She couldn't move. She probably couldn't even move around by herself.
Hey, we don't know that. You know, they said she was beating them in a board game like every day. So maybe her mind was sharp. Maybe she enjoyed life. I don't know.
Is she going to get up and carry groceries to the house?
She's going to get up and do some jumping jacks.
Yeah. Okay. Now you're playing around. Yep. Wow. Shouts out to her, though. Shouts out to her family. I think she's accomplished a legendary feat to even make it past, to even make it to 100 years old is a feat. To go beyond that, she's it for the history books. She's in the record books. So I'm just going to assume, of course, I don't really know, so don't hold me to it, listeners. I'm just going to assume she was a good woman, genuine woman. So shouts out to her, and hopefully her family can have a great celebration of her 119 years of life.
Also, one more thing, listeners, there has been a movie announced. Apparently Bad Bunny will be the star and be the first Latino superhero in a movie about the Marvel superhero El Muerto. Now, a lot of people on Twitter have been upset about this because El Muerto is, I guess, an offshoot character who's only had but a couple appearances in comic books. He's not really a developed character like that. I think what it is, for the most part, is that people don't want Sony to take these characters who are characters that aren't necessarily known and just make any type of movie with them whatsoever, which their track record for the Marvel superheroes haven't been good. So a lot of the fan base is just not a fan of any movies they make. They said they were going to make a movie about Kraven. They didn't want to see that movie either. You know Kraven. I know Kraven, but they don't want to see that. They don't want to see movies about these small rogues gallery characters. They don't.
I mean, Sony has rights to Spider-Man. They have rights to the Spider-Man universe,
right,
which includes whatever character is predominantly in the Spider-Man realm. They can't make a movie about the X-Men. They can't make a movie about Captain America and whatever iteration of Captain America. They can't make a movie of some cosmic entity like Nova. They can't do that. So they're only going to take what they have, which is Spider-Man, and the characters revolves around him, and make movies off of that. So that's the Sony thing. If you don't want Sony making movies because you're not a Sony fan, fair enough. I don't have a problem with that. But if people are kind of like, oh, well, El Muerto, he's not really known, and, you know, why are they doing this? Well, remember, these are the same fucking people that were bitching and crying and complaining every time that somebody is replacing a particular hero that has a lot of history. Why don't they make a new hero? Why don't you do that? Well, El Muerto, he might not be brand new, but there's not a lot of content on him, so you can make him a brand new hero for the sake of a movie. And for you to bitch about that, to me, is ultra fucking corny. Because I'm just kind of like, it's like, damned if you do, damned if you don't. I'm not going to hate on it. I'm going to give it a chance whenever it arrives. I'm not saying it's a day one movie for me, because I didn't watch some bullshit Morbius, because that shit looked bad. Yeah, and if El Muerto looks bad, trust and believe I will not be going out. But if it looks like it could be entertaining, some kind of fun, I'm going to go out there and watch it. People hate, oh, Sony, they can't make blah, 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 blah. They're only saying that because of Spider-Man 3 and the amazing fucking Spider-Man. That's it. Now people are turning the fucking, we want to see Spider-Man 4. We want to see another amazing Spider-Man. See what I'm saying? Fair weather fucking fans. That's why these studios, sometimes they just don't fucking listen to these people.
They don't care.
Because it's like, yeah, what do you guys fucking want?
See, here's my thing. I think Sony, my thing is that it's clearly a cash grab, because they're just going to take whatever character they want from Spider-Man and do whatever they want with him. That's the part that gets me. And I'm like, okay, they clearly will see if the movie's good or not, but their track record with making good superhero movies isn't good, right? So that's my thing. Is it really? Did you like Amazing Spider-Man 1, 2? Did you like Venom? Did you like those movies? Did you like Morbius? Those are five. Like, you know what I mean?
Right. But now you're discrediting the first two Spider-Mans that a lot of people like. You're discrediting Into the Spider-Verse, which is probably the biggest fucking animated superhero movie that people critically praised and shit.
I didn't say they never made good movies.
Wait.
Go ahead.
And the second one, it's like the most anticipated superhero film outside of fucking the MCU. So I'm not saying the track record is perfect,
it's bad. Their track record is average at best.
No, it's not. People are you and those fickle fans, you're treating it like their track record is abysmal, right?
It's not great.
I hear what you're saying. It's not great, but at the same time, you know, why are you going to shit all over a fucking character in a movie and all that stuff? And you don't even know what the fucking content is going to be about.
You say
it's a cash grab. I don't see how it's a cash grab.
It is a cash grab because they're just taking something and just. They're taking a character and making it like, oh, okay, we're going to have this well-known celebrity be the main star in this movie about something that's nothing, da-da-da-da-da. Now, that being said, before we had got off to that, Marvel does this. You know, they've done it before. So I'm not necessarily mad about them trying to grab cash. I get it because other people do the same shit. So why should I be mad at them for it?
I think it's because Sony's doing it. If Disney but if Disney Marvel Studios was doing it, I can't wait to shoot El Muerto.
And their track record is better.
No, but you
know, way better.
Yeah, but that's bullshit then.
No, it's not. All right. Do you have any interest in watching Morbius? Do you have any interest in watching? Do you like Amazing Spider-Man 1?
The first one, yeah, it was cool. It wasn't the best, but it was better than Spider-Man 3.
Did you like Amazing Spider-Man 2?
Better than Spider-Man 3.
Did you like Spider-Man 3?
What, the Tobey Maguire Spider-Man 3? Yes. No, that was garbage.
Did you like the Venom movies?
The first one was good, but I never seen the second one. Well, okay. The first one was cool. It was cool, but I never seen the second one.
Okay, so you're saying that there's a couple movies that were good, that were good movies, like Into the Spider-Verse.
Hold on, wait.
Let me finish. Okay. All right, there's a couple movies that were good like that. There's way more movies that were average, and there's at least a few bad movies. So their track record isn't good. That's why people aren't excited for those movies.
All right. But here's the thing. You are saying El Muerto is a cash grab.
But
how? What are they cash grabbing? This is not like Spider-Man 6. You know what I'm saying? That's a cash grab. Why is this... Like, how's El Muerto a fucking cash grab? How's El Muerto a cash grab, but not Shang-Chi?
The way I see it is like this, right? They're taking any character they can and just, like, kind of shoving them in there. That's why I'm not saying Shang-Chi is a well-known character. I'm not saying that.
Okay.
I said Marvel does this. So
if El Muerto is a cash grab,
I get what you're saying. By your logic,
Shang-Chi needs to be a cash grab.
And if you don't
view Shang-Chi as a cash grab, El Muerto is not a cash grab.
It's not that much of a cash grab if you're saying it like that, but I am not excited for it because it's probably going to be at maybe average, possibly good.
That's fine. You have the right not for your expectations, bro. If you don't fuck with Sony movie, like Sony Marvel movies or whatever, that is fine. You have the right to that. I'm not going to sit there and criticize you for that because they don't have the best track record. But to come out and say El Muerto is a cash grab, El Muerto, they're trying to make movies with anybody just now, But
you got to say the same thing about Marvel and DC. Exactly. I get what you're saying.
Exactly. You have to do that. And guess what? Those motherfuckers are not doing it. That's why I feel like these fucking audiences are fucking fickle, and the studios are like, we don't give a fuck about what you want.
Do you have anything else for the listeners?
This weekend is a big boxing fight between Oscar Valdez and Shakur Stevenson. It's a unification belt bout for two belts. I want to say the WBO and the WBC. I can't remember the weight class because, you know, boxing has 20 weight classes. I want to say it's the junior lightweight weight class. I don't know. I could be wrong. Either junior lightweight or super featherweight, whatever the fuck. I don't know. But that fight itself, though, is a big fight because Shakur Stevenson, he's prime. Basically, people are saying, like, hey, he's one of the future stars of boxing. He's been doing his damn thing. It's live and free on ESPN, primetime. I'm going to tune in, Nigel. I think you should tune in. Listeners, I think you should tune in too. Unless you're not a fan of boxing at all, then understandable. Yep. Oh, also, at the time when this episode comes out, listeners, the day after the episode drops, I want to say I think Future is dropping an album. Action Bronson is dropping an album. I think Ransom, he's dropping something. I don't know if it's an album or a song. It should be an interesting weekend of new music coming out. So let's just check that out, because more than likely we will be talking about that. Maybe not everything, but the big releases we'll be talking about.
I have nothing else for the listeners. I will be listening to those albums though, but I don't think there's anything really happening this weekend that I can think of. I don't know. Anyways, you've been highly advised, listeners. We will see you next week.
We
didn't do that thing. You're right.
Pause. Yeah, man.
Where can they follow you at?
At the Highly Advised Podcast on Instagram.
Yeah, where else can they follow you at?
Make sure you subscribe to me on YouTube at the Highly Advised Podcast. And, okay. On Twitter at Advise Highly. That's where you can follow us. Make sure you tell a friend or family member about us. If you want to talk to us, definitely hit us up on there. We are very friendly people. We are very open-minded people, and we like to converse with others who want to converse with us, whether it's about the podcast or other topics. We're down for it. We're cool for it. So check us out there. Like Nigel said, you know, that I think that's it for this episode, listeners. Until the next time, and hopefully Spence is able to return and you'll get the trio back instead of the duo. But it's okay if you get the duo, because like I said, the ratings
still going up,
have never been higher. So there we go.
Listeners, that is Big Cozy Too Cozy. I am Relaxing OG_Jackson. You have been highly advised. We will see you next week. Shasha.